You know, the Bible says there in Hebrews that we're to not to forsake the gathering ourselves together as is the manner of some, but even much more so as we see the day approaching. Amen. You ever notice that? Even much more so. What day? The day of the Lord Jesus. He's coming again. How many are glad he's coming? Hallelujah. You know, you get to thinking heaven about heaven long enough, and you get to thinking about how much God loves people and loves you, you'll get real happy. That's why when we worship him, see, we begin to let the joy of the Lord in. Amen. Because he said in his presence is the fullness of joy. Amen. Glory to God. And how many know what is your strength? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Sometimes I just got to take a little worship break. And, you know, you get, you know, everybody, we talk about it. You know, oh, I don't feel, you know, I'm just getting a little tired this afternoon. Anybody ever have that? You know, you get in the afternoon or sometime in the day, if you just take a minute. Just take a moment. It doesn't take long. Oh, I worship you, Jesus. I love to love you, Lord. Amen. I worship you. Glorify you, Jesus. Thank you that you're with me, Lord. I don't forget your benefits. Oh, you're so good to me, Lord. I love you. I worship you. Oh, I glorify you. Let his presence come. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know that sustains us? Amen. Against the attacks of the enemy. He comes against our soul every day. We live in a fallen world. And you know, maybe it was somebody around yours. You know, maybe it was even a fellow believer. You know, they didn't say a kind word to you and it hurt your feelings. Well, how many know we got a master that loves us? Amen. I know most of you grown way beyond that, but praise the Lord. Sometimes it does. Amen. There's things that the world brings as long as we live here. But praise God. Well, let's look at, let's go to Luke 14. I know we were there last week, but I want to look here again. Luke chapter 14, we'll start verse 25. I'm just going to read a part of this, and then we'll move forward. Because I started last Wednesday, we looked at kind of the cost of discipleship, what it means to be a disciple, and we read this verse here. Let's read 25 through 27 for a minute. We'll kind of recap just a little. It says, now great multitudes went with him, with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And we said last week, we began talking about that first of all, he uses the word here, hate, which is a very strong English word. But we would say, in other words, compared to everyone else, love less everyone else except Jesus. Now, we can see this principle also, Matthew 22. He says that to love the Lord your God, right, with all our heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so in other words, he's saying love, Jesus is saying love me. If you want to be my disciple, then you will follow after me and you will love me more than your husband and wife. In other words, nobody can be God in your life except Jesus. He's got to be it. Amen. If you're going to be a follower, he said, now this is to be the disciplined follower of Jesus. That's what it means to be a disciple. In other words, we are disciplining ourselves. And Sunday we looked at one discipline anyway of the Word of God. Letting it be what we say is important. The Word of God, if we say it's important, how many know it is? Because we got to do his sayings. Amen. We got to do what he said. If you never read the Bible, it's really hard to know exactly what he said. Now, you say, well, God can tell me. He could. Yeah, he knows what it says. But he has also commanded us to study to show ourselves approved. unto him. Amen. That we're to read the Word of God. We're to partake of it. It is food for our spiritual man. It's what helps us to grow, to mature, and we want to set the Word of God, what Jesus said, primarily his sayings. He said, if we keep his sayings, we're going to have a house or a building that's not going to be destroyed. Amen. And we said a lot of other things last week too, but here he said that we have to bear, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me. And we said, you know, a cross represents a death, doesn't it? The cross, and during that time, how many know what the cross was for? It was for capital punishment. They were punishing those that were murderers, those that, you know, deserved to die in their society. And so we would say today, I suppose we would say, you know, the injection needle, and, you know, they don't so much put some people to death so much anymore for crimes. And I'm not saying that's good or bad. I mean, sometimes they make mistakes and people die that shouldn't. But praise the Lord. That's not what we're talking about tonight. But this cross here is, he says, what does it say? Whosoever does not bear his cross, and come after me. In other words, each one of us must have a cross that we have to bear. Now, some people would say, well, that cross is, you know, some kind of an infirmity, but that's not what he says here. It's not infirmity of the flesh. In other words, it's not a sickness or disease. Those things, it's not being so poor, you know, dirt poor, the Lord's keeping me poor and humble. No, that's not what he's saying here at all. Our cross, he said, it's very simple here, because he says, does that bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Because he just said what? Okay, yes, and our own life also. If we don't love less our own life also, we cannot be his disciple. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me. So we're going to be following him. The cross is representing a place of death. And so we have to die. In other words, how many know there's a certain amount of death, you know, not to the spirit, but to the flesh. The flesh desires, hey, if I want to put my sister, greater than Jesus, then that would be an idol in my life, wouldn't it? In other words, there's a certain amount of death that I have in order to love others less than I love him, to love him more. In other words, I'm putting a priority on Jesus. I'm letting him be first place in my life. I'm letting his sayings guide me, not what I think or how I feel in my flesh. See, when we become a disciple, then we're going to, we decide to become a learner. Jesus said also, come and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He said, come learn of me. Why? I'm going to bring rest to your soul. My words, he said, my words are spirit and they are life to you. Amen. Hallelujah. This is the truth. He says, my word, what I speak to you. And so it was important that we understand here that being a disciple, there's a certain amount of a cost. And of course, he gave the parable where he said, who goes down and makes a building, builds a building, and doesn't first count the cost? And I understand he's talking about a physical building here. You know, we count the cost, whether they have enough to finish or not. Jesus is interested in you finishing your race. You know, he said in the Corinthians, he says, don't you know that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? You are his building. You are the house of God. Your body is the temple of the Lord. How many of you know that's true? Amen. And here when we look, and I know he's talking about a natural building here, he's saying you would count the cost first, but he's also talking about your life. He's talking about being a disciple. He said, if you're going to be my disciple, you're going to have to decide, how much is it going to cost? Am I willing to lay down my life to follow Jesus? Will I lay down what I desire so much? That may be, you know, it may be something simple. But there are other things sometimes that we carry over in our flesh. Anger. Anybody ever have that in their life? I had a little anger in my life. But we can bring it to a place of death in our life when we love Him first. See, things of this flesh can die. Yeah, they may hang on for a minute. But, you know, if you keep working the Word, you keep working the truth of what He said. What has He said? He's given us, what, temperance in our heart, didn't He? Galatians 5. What is inside of you? What is the inner man? What is it made of? You say, well, I don't have enough. Yeah, you do. He gave it to us when we were born again. He said the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of that inner man is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, King James temperance, or self-control. Right? In other words, we have self-control in our life. Anger doesn't have to rule us. I'm just giving one example. I'm not saying I'm not preaching any particular one person, and I don't. Oh, no, he must know I fly off the handle. No, I don't know that. But how many have ever, you know, anger is not always flying off the handle. Sometimes people get angry with God. They blame Him. And that's unfortunate. When He's our answer. We may not understand everything. I'm not saying we understand everything. God said there's some things, it's just an absolute fact. There's some things in this life that we have to believe what God said. He said God is, and He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him, and He is. And, you know, but there's some things sometimes, I don't get everything. See, when I'm going to be His disciple, that means I don't get everything I want. I don't get to have my own way all the time because I'm His disciple. In other words, my life does not belong to me anymore. See, that's how Jesus walked with the Father, wasn't it? He said, I do not do anything other than what I hear my Father say and what I see my Father do. This is being the disciple of the Lord. How many think that if you're going to be a disciple, you want to be more like the Master, amen? He's the teacher, isn't He? So the goal of discipleship is not just to be better, but is to become like Him, to walk as He walked. And everybody says, well, we can't walk just like Jesus. Yeah, we can. We can. We have to allow Him to be first. There are things we need to do. He said in Matthew 6, He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. And see, sometimes we don't have first things first. He said, well, what does that mean? That means we've got to say the Word of God is going to settle what I believe. In other words, I don't conform, we don't conform the Word of God to what I believe. I conform what I believe to what the Word of God says. You say, wait a minute, brother. No, I live by what the Word of God says. Jesus said, Matthew 4:4, we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You see, we don't conform our life to the way we experience it, but to what God's Word says. Now, our experience should ultimately be what God's Word says. Amen? That's what we want. That's what we are conforming ourselves to. So that when I say, hey, I believe the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost, then it is, right? I can then, but see, the thing is, then why, how come if the love of God is fully shed abroad, it's shed abroad in all of our hearts, then we ought to be perfectly walking in love, right? What's the problem, Pastor Doug? What's the problem? You have a fleshly body. You have a fleshly mind. It must be renewed. Romans 12:1. What does he say? We present our body a living sacrifice. Step one. Present me. Okay, Lord, here I am. I give you my life. I have surrendered to you. Yes, you are my Lord. Yes, you are my Savior. Yes, I want to follow you, but I want to become. Now, I'm deciding, Lord, I don't want to just follow you from the distance, because they were already following him. He got a big crowd following him. And I'm telling you, Jesus, it didn't, you know, you see, when we really walk with God and we're maturing in him, then praise and criticism affect you the same. Didn't make any difference. You say, well, why is that? Because you died to the flesh. You know, if we have a dead man here, it wouldn't make any difference. If he's here, you could cuss him out. You could criticize him. You could praise him, and he's going to stay the same. He's just going to lay there. He's been mortified. He's the ultimate mortification. I mean, that's it. It doesn't go any further than that, right? I mean, you could kick him. He's not going to scream. You can make fun of him. You can go back here and talk about him all you want, and he will not react, because he has learned something. Now, the difference is, now he's mortified, but you and I, we are a living sacrifice. That means we have to die to it, from the things that affect us on our fleshly body, on our fleshly mind, right? With things that come to our mind, thoughts, things that people say, emotions that we have, and we've got to allow those to still be alive, but yet be dead to us, the real inner man. And we've got to learn how to live out of that inside man, where the what? The love, the joy, the peace, the patience. You say, well, a lot of people say, well, I want the patience of Job. Well, what in the world do you want the patience of Job for? You got the patience of Jesus on the inside of you. He lives in you. He gave you a nature that's alive to him, that was born again. You've been changed on the inside. You don't want to do evil anymore, do you? I mean, if you ever did, you know, if you were a sinner, you know, people that are sinners, it doesn't bother them. They don't, it doesn't convict them. They can go steal from you. They'll come get your money and go blow it and do all these drugs, and they don't care about you. They could care less. They don't care about their grandma sometimes. And it's sad. It's very sad. You say, well, that's not them. No, it's not them. But they're doing it. Why? Because their nature. Or they seared their conscience to God, and, you know, and they're following after the flesh. That's what the sin nature does. It follows after what I want, what I feel. Hey, well, maybe they don't do any drugs, but they got all the power. They want all the praise. Look at me. I've got a great job. Look what I'm doing. I got some money. Hallelujah. Look at me. See, there's all sorts of things in our fleshly man. You know, sometimes they want self-exaltation. Well, what do you mean self-exaltation? Exalting ourselves. He just said here, we've got to love Jesus more than we love ourselves, our own desire. See, Jesus did not consider equality. He said, I lay down my equality with God, and I take myself to become a man. And more than that, he said, the servant of man, to be a servant. And to love man. And many times we don't see ourselves. See, a real disciple of the Lord will see himself as a servant or a son working with his Father in the kingdom. In other words, we've got something to give. We're not here to take, we're here to give, aren't we? God said, for God so loved the world. What's the first thing he says? He so loved the world that he gave. He was willing to part with his one and only son. And sometimes we got to be willing to part with things that have been a part of our flesh. Maybe it's, like I said, an anger, or maybe it's a fear in your life that's been controlling you. It could be a number of things. There's, you know, it could be, like I said, it could be, hey, I like to, you like the spotlight. You want to be in charge. You got to take control. Because if I'm not in control, guess what? I'm in fear. It bothers me if I'm not in control. You know, if I don't have control, no, we've got to learn to trust and give control to him. Trust in the Lord with all our heart. Now see, these, and I'm touching on a lot of areas. I understand that. But I'm trying to get us to see. There's sometimes, you know, we all look at the things that we can see. Oh, that guy, he needs to change. He smokes cigarettes, you know, and that's something we can see. But there are things in our heart that we don't see. And sometimes they've been with us so long, they become a part of us. And we got to be willing to say, no, I'm going to let God help me carry my cross. The first place I'm going is to be crucified. It's one of the first places. He said, you got to take up that cross and follow me. In other words, you've got to leave behind that baggage that tries to follow you around. Hey, it could be self-condemnation. Oh, my goodness. You know, there's people, they don't really care about their self too much. They don't have a healthy image of who they are. You know, we call it, you know, self-love, but really it's supposed to be confidence in who God has made me. You know, it's really confidence in his love for me. You know, I mean, we should care about ourselves, though. It's good because he said, what? Love our neighbor as you love yourself. He said, love your wife, man, right? How do we love our wife? As we love ourselves. He said, you take care of yourself. You feed yourself. You clothe yourself. You got to have that confidence. You got to know you. You got to be able to take care of yourself before you can take care of somebody else. And sometimes people want to get, you know, they want to rush off. You know, they're a young person, but they don't realize how many issues or how many things they're still dealing in their own heart and life that they might want to work out a little more before they get married. I'm just being honest. You know, we want to see. I wish I had spent a little bit more time working on that. Amen. You know, and dealt with things in my heart, my life. I was dealing with them, and I did overcome ultimately, you know. But, and God, it doesn't matter. I mean, you got married. Well, that's your wife. Be happy. You know, hang on to her. You know, doesn't mean God wants you to just run off. At least give it a time. Amen. You could work together if you will, you know, some things. I mean, I know not everybody. We got, what, two people married, three people married here. So, you know, two or three couples here. But still, you understand. Some of you have been married. Maybe you were, and you understand it's not just a take situation, is it? We have to give. We have to love. We have to receive. And we have to honor. And so that's part of what the Lord is saying. We honor the Lord, number one. But when you really love God, you're going to love your husband or wife more. You're going to love your children more. Why? Because you're letting go of things that have held you back. Hallelujah. So we got to become a learner. Someone who disciples themselves. Someone who disciplines themselves, a disciple, someone who disciplines themselves to hear the word, to go to church and to hear the word of God preached, to meditate the word of God. Someone who's going to deny themselves and determine to be obedient to the word of God and to God's spirit. Amen. If we're going to be a disciple of the Lord, then we got to make some decisions, don't we? And sometimes that means, you know, if you're going to go to church on Sunday, that means you're not going to watch some football game you wanted to watch, right, man? Or you know, I can't believe that these days. We've had so many things that can record for years, you know. You could watch it later, you know, if it's that important to you. You know, but sometimes people put so many things before the Lord. And I'm not just talking about coming to church. It's good. We should come to church. We should, because we want to fellowship with the body of Christ. We want to worship God together. Amen. We want to know Him. We want to experience Him and let the corporate presence of God affect us. So that's part of being His disciple. You know, you get born again and we begin to move with Him. Let's look for a minute over Ephesians chapter 4. Tonight I'm talking about some more things here about taking our cross, but also the importance of laying, you know, what that means. We become, like I said, this guy that was our friend here who's mortified, you know. I can praise him all day long. You know, we could lift him up and say, you know, how great he was also. And that's usually what they do, you know. The guy gets mortified and all of a sudden he became great, you know. I remember one guy got up there and he says, well, I'm going to tell the truth of it. He was rotten. You know, he just wasn't very good at all. I didn't like the guy. You know, he talked about him and he says, well, it is what it was. You know, and sometimes things, you know, they weren't as wonderful as we make them sound. Amen. But, you know, we want to love them and we want to remember the good things. You know, once a person's gone, it ain't going to bother them anyway. We got to deal with us. Amen. And we should think the best and we should honor. But being mortified, we got to be mortified. We've got to allow those fleshly things to die. What did I say? Ephesians 4. Let's look at verse 11. It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, for whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And so here I'm sharing these scriptures because it's showing us that we have need to grow up. God placed some gifts in the body. See, a disciple of the Lord, you know, you're coming to church. Why? Because I want to learn. I'm a learner. I want to learn of God. Amen. That's part of what we come here for. That's not everything. You know, there's things that you have. You have things that you've learned this week. You've had things that you need to share. You've had experience. You know, so-and-so guy, hey, guess what? I've talked to, you know, so-and-so down here at Walmart, and I think I just about got them. They're coming to Jesus. Amen. Why? Because you're an ambassador. You are an ambassador. We're all ambassadors. We all have opportunity all the way around us. But God has placed some gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, in the church for a reason. He said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the building up of the body of Christ, to be built up. We're here today not just because we want to hear a word, but to be strengthened. We're being strengthened tonight. We're being challenged. We're being encouraged to be His disciple. To say, oh yeah, have I left my first love? Lord, this is 2023. I did good last year, but have I really set my face to have you as my first love this year? Am I committed, Lord, to doing the things that you're asking, putting in my heart to do? Am I committed, Lord, to seeking you first? Because these are the things that bring death to the flesh and life from our spirit. They feed our spiritual man. And when our spiritual man is stronger than our fleshly man, then that's what begins to rule us. And that's how we reign. And that's how we gain victory in life. We overcome our feelings of the flesh, our feelings of being hurt. We're able to what? Forgive. To release. To say, Lord, I hold them blameless. To love our enemies, which we don't do in our own power, do we? Anybody in here got power in your own self to just love your enemies? No, I need God. I need my spiritual power. I need power from God. I need to do what His Word said, not because of how my emotions are, but because of what He said. My emotions, they'll catch up. They'll catch you up. Sometimes they'll overtake you. Sometimes good emotions overtake you. Do you understand that? When God comes, there's good emotions in there He wants you to enjoy. Like peace and joy and kindness. So is kindness an emotion? Well, it's more of an act, but it has emotion involved. Amen. I mean, no, you get a little, I like people that are kind. It helps me. It strengthens me. When my brethren, when you come and you're kind to me, I like that. My fleshly man. But see, when we begin to learn to let that kindness flow, I mean, this should be, the church should be the most love, kind, and good place there is. Hallelujah. People will want to be here. Why? Because we're more and more like Jesus. And you know, the world hardly ever pushed Jesus away. They hardly ever, they received Him. They received Him. They were drawn to Him. It was the religious people. People that were bound by all these rules and regulations that they had to do that they thought made them right with God. But it was the blood that makes us right. It was His grace that saved us. It was what Jesus did. It's falling in love with what He has given. He gave us life. He gave us His life, and that life lives in us, and that life can begin to dictate to us. It can walk through us when we, what, first of all, surrender. You know, Jesus had to surrender in order to be put on the cross. God will not make you bear your cross. He will not make you go to the cross. He will not make you die, but you can be willing. Say, Lord, I willingly lay my life down. I present myself. So that what? I can then, you know, He said, we present our body, that living sacrifice, which is our spiritual worship, and be not, don't be conformed to the way of this world. In other words, we don't take the ways. Amen. We don't do everything the world's doing. He said, well, why not? Because it's not right. It's against God. He said, the Bible says that is enmity against God. In other words, it's the enemy of God. Certain fleshly things. Now, some things are good, and there are some things that are just weights, and we can lay them aside anyway because we love Him. I'm not telling everybody they got terrible things in their life. But we got to get our mind renewed to the truth of the Word of God, what Jesus said. That's why, how are you going to do His sayings if you don't know what He said? It's very hard to follow instructions that have not been heard. Or maybe we did hear them, but we're struggling and we need to meditate on what He said so that we can observe what He said, so that we can do what He said. You see, that's one of the keys. Joshua 1:8, he said, meditate on the word, what? Day and night, that you may observe to do. There's a reason for it. Meditation helps us in our doing. because of what we're thinking about. And that was one of our points, is that we're putting the Word of God in us. We're deciding. The disciple makes some decisions to become that learner, to learn of Him, to let Him become our tutor, to let the Word of God be first place to us. What we think about. You know, I like the song that my friend Red Polston wrote. You know, he said, I'm a Jesus junkie, you know. I just can't get enough. Oh, hallelujah. Sweet Holy Moses, I'm just hooked on that stuff. I've got my Bible. He says, I've got it real close. I keep it on my nightstand. And I take a double dose because I'm a Jesus junkie. I love Him. I keep the Word of God close to me. I open it up several times a day. Like one person said, you know, at least some of these young people, you know, if we checked your Bible as much as you check your phone, you'd be like, whoo, Lord, you got another message for me? What's in there? You got, hold on a minute. You say, just a minute. I got a message. Just a second. You know, it's so important. You know, you got everybody around you that you could talk to, but you got them on hold because you got, you know, somebody on your phone. I'm on my phone here, you know, but if we get Jesus, amen. I got a download here. Just a minute. Or upload or whatever it is. And do not be conformed to this. Oh, yeah, don't be conformed to this world. But be ye transformed, renewing your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That you may prove something. You're not just renewing your mind for no reason. You're renewing it to show something. In other words, right, if you prove something, then you're going to show that it is true. Amen. Right? Isn't that true? Well, prove it to me, brother. You got a new car, prove it to me. So you take them out to the parking lot and say, right, it's right here. Ah, that's not your car. I've got the title. That's my name right here on here. Oh, my goodness, you do. All of a sudden, you have what? Proven this is my car. I've got insurance on. I can drive it. This is mine. So you're proving I belong to Jesus. Well, how do we know? I'm getting my mind renewed to what He said so that I can show you what His will is, His good, His pleasing, His perfect will. Amen. His first will, of course, is His sayings, what He said, this word right here. And then as we seek Him, there are times He may give you an assignment. And you find out, hey, I've got some things I need to do. You know, well, what was number one? Well, He wants me to spend a little more time in prayer. Oh, well, that doesn't sound like it's going to do anything. Oh, yeah. Spend a little more time with the Master, see, because I got some learning to do because I want to be His disciple. I don't want to just follow Him from a distance, but I want to move in close. And as we spend some time with Him, we may get another instruction. Oh, I want you to spend a little bit more time reading the letters I gave you. Oh, okay, Lord, do you know? And He may begin to teach you. He said, why don't you meditate? He may give you a certain book or certain chapters. Right now, read that for a while. Oh, well, I've read it. Yeah, I know you read it twice. I want you to read it again and again. Oh, read it again and again. And it begins to become real to you. And it's not old to you. But every time you read it, it becomes new. It refreshes you. It strengthens your spirit, and your mind begins to think more like Him. Oh, Lord, I know, I understand. There's got to be something else you want me to do. Oh, He says, oh, yes, I got another assignment for you. Would you worship me? Spend a little time just worshiping me, me and you. Just let me know how much you love me. Talk to me. Tell me your heart. I want to know you. See, a lot of times we say, well, God knows me. Yeah, but do I know him? Am I opening my heart to him in worship? Am I telling him how much I love him, what I care, what I think about? Am I putting his worthiness, his holiness to words that I speak to his heart that bless him? Well, what do you want to do that for? His presence comes down. His presence becomes what the Bible says. He said, I will manifest myself to you. That means we is becomes tangible, right? It becomes what we can sense it. We know it down in our heart. Amen. And we begin to understand his love and receive it for ourselves. Well, what else he might have? You got anything else for me to do, Lord? Well, now maybe. See, I got him. I'm getting to learn of him. I'm beginning, and I'm going to begin to what? I'm proving who he is. And now he said, oh, you know your neighbor next door. Would you go talk to him for me? Just strike up that conversation. Would you pray for them with me? Start praying for them and believe for them to come to know me. And because of your learning of him, you're beginning to know him. It overflows in every area of your life. And you pray for them. And you begin to find divine appointment. And you converse one-on-one. Lord, I'm trusting you. I believe you direct my steps. I believe you're taking me, Lord. I'm going to prove who you are. I'm going to walk out your purpose. I'm going to walk out who I am in you, Lord. I believe you love me, and I love you, Father, more than I love my family, my husband, my wife, my brother, my sister, my own life, Jesus. I submit to being crucified. I submit to laying down the things of this world, Lord. Worldly pleasures don't mean so much to me because I'm learning of you, and I'm beginning to what? Grow up. He said, grow up in him. To the stature, to the fullness of all that you are, Jesus, so that you can then, you can flow through me. I can prove that you are the King of Glory. I can prove that you are God Almighty. And they'll say of you, surely they've been with Jesus. Well, Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We've encouraged ourselves, Lord, about being followers of you, Lord, about laying our life down and how to allow you, Father, to have your way, that we're not going to be consumed with the ways of the world or the ways of the flesh, Father, but we're willing to lay them down, Father, and continually seeking after you to take up our cross, Father. To let you help us die to the things of this flesh every single day. And to let you be Lord of our life. To let your love fill us, Father. To be more aware, Father, of your joy than we are of the sorrows of the world. To be able to bring peace to a hurting heart, Father. To where we are free, Lord, in you. To where all that you are can flow freely. Oh, we love you, Lord. We thank you, Father. And we ask that you would help us to bear our cross, Father, to allow you to remove the things in our life that stand in our way, Lord. And Father, we thank you and we give you praise for the truths of your word in Jesus' mighty name, Lord. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.